right. Take your Bible tonight, if you will. Let's go to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to have to hold a mic in one hand, my pointer and my clicker in the other hand, and we're just going to have a good old time, all right? So if I just had one more hand, life would be wonderful. So, all right, we'll try to do that. To those of you who are watching, and we had problems last Wednesday and the sound quit, we do apologize humbly for that, all right? We didn't do it on purpose, I promise, and we're trying to avoid that happening tonight. So if you'll bear with us, we'll try to correct it. And if you didn't get the end of the message, you know, if you'll call me, I'll preach it to you from the point we lost it, all right? We'll try to do it that way. But one last announcement, too, tonight right after church, since Brother Miss Kelly are gone, we need to do just a little spot or two of cleaning. So if you would help, if you could stay around and help us, that would be a blessing, all right? That would be a blessing. All right, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. The Bible said, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I just be honest with you. Every time I read this passage of Scripture or hear these words read, man, I just can't do it without a chill falling on me. It just does something to me. What a sobering thought of standing before the living God to face judgment. Hey, not a judgment from man, who can be swayed, you know, by some means. Not a judgment by that. It's not a judgment from your peers, okay? It's not a judgment from your peers. Hey, it's a judgment from an almighty God who is omniscient and omnipotent. It's the God who's kept records of every deed that every man has done, whether it was committed in the darkness or was committed in broad daylight. This is the one that's kept a record of it, all right? He's the God who cannot be fooled, he cannot be deceived, and he cannot be swayed by any kind of courtroom antics, all right? We've all seen maybe television programs or heard about lawyers doing things to sway juries. Hey, you don't do that with God. You don't do that with God. So what we're talking about tonight is the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment. Hey, I'll say this to you. There's no danger of miscarriage of judgment or justice, or any kind of mistake in judgment, because everything will be brought to light. Everything will be brought to light. So I want to look at this judgment tonight. Now, I intentionally look for a picture that what I think convey the idea as good and scriptures as it can, and so look at this one, if you will. I want you to get a good look at it, because we're going to talk about this thing. First thing we want to talk about is, where is this judgment going to take place? Where is this judgment going to take place? Well, it's not going to be on earth, okay? Notice what the Bible says. It says, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them, all right? So we're not talking about on earth. The Bible said heaven and earth both fled away. There's no place. So it's not going to be on earth. At all right? They fled away. You say, where's it going to be? I believe it's going to be out in space somewhere. I do. I believe. You say, man can't survive out there. They can when God's in control. They can when God's in control. I'll be honest. I believe it'll be out there. I believe that great white throne is just going to be hanging in space. And I believe all the folks that'll be judged, they're just going to be basically suspended there in front of that throne. It's going to be there. Hey, that means there's absolutely no place to hide. No place to hide. No way to get away from it. That means the sinner is going to stand before God alone. Alone. Now, you think about that. Because a lot of people today, the things they do because they do they go along with the crowd that eggs them on. And it's amazing how many times when you got people that are living wickedly, there's always somebody around to egg them on to get them to keep on going that way, all right? But also, sometimes people like to have a crowd because they got somebody else to blame it on. Got somebody else will point the finger, I didn't do it, they did it, all right? And you're in a great crowd. Well, I believe these folks are going to stand before God. They're going to stand before God totally alone. You say, well, wait a minute, isn't it right for them to have a lawyer representing them? Well, you don't need a lawyer here because the judge you're standing in front of knows everything, all right? He knows everything. You say, well, who is that judge, all right? Who's going to be the presiding judge? Well, it says the great white throne judgment. Who's it going to be? Well, it's going to be Jesus Christ. It's going to be God in the person of Jesus Christ. You say, well, wait a minute. How do you know it's not going to be God the Father? Take your Bible and go to John chapter 5, would you? John chapter 5 tonight. Won't you notice what the Bible says? In John chapter 5, we find a verse there that has great relationship to the end times and to the present time and to all time. In verse 22, the Bible says, for the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. He's committed all judgment unto the Son. That means they're going to stand, the folks are going to stand before the one the world has rejected. The world has rejected. The one that the world's turned its back on. And by the way, more and more in our world today, people turn their back on God. Well, and the Lord Jesus Christ, deny him. Well, that's the one they're going to stand in front of, all right? They're going to stand before him. You say, well, who's going to be there? Who is it going to be that's judged at that judgment, all right? Well, notice what the Bible says here in Revelation chapter 20, all right? Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. The Bible said, and I saw the dead, small and great. The dead, small and great. A position doesn't matter. Prestige doesn't matter. Power doesn't make any difference. Possessions doesn't make any difference. The Bible said the dead, small and great. None of those things are going to count for anything, all right? The drunken bum on the street be standing next to the bank president. Doesn't matter what the power is, all right? The great, mighty politician, the potentate, the king, he's going to stand there right by the serf. All right, because there's no discrimination, no discrepancy, no difference between them. The dead, small and great, are going to stand there before God. Look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. All right, it's going to be those who missed the first resurrection. All right, the Bible said in Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power. All right, the second death hath no power. Verse 14 says, this is the second death. All right, so the ones that are going to be judged are the ones that missed the first resurrection. All right, they were not resurrected in that first resurrection. So who's it going to be? Look at verse 15 of chapter 20. Verse 15 of chapter 20. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Hey, it's going to be those whose names are missing in the book of life. Now, folks, all that boils down to this. It's going to be the unsaved. It's the unsaved. All who died without Jesus Christ will stand before the great white throne judgment. Notice the Bible says in these verses in verse 13, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the grave which were in them. Hey, all of it. There's not going to be any exception. The Bible gives us this description to let us know that everybody who died without the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior is going to stand before this great white throne judgment. Every one of them will stand there. Every one of them will give an account. Everyone will be judged at that. All right? But man's finally going to get what he ever seems to always want, because the basis of that judgment, would you look at verse 12? Verse 12, it says they're going to be judged according to their works. according to their works. Verse 15 says, and they were judged every man according to their works. We live in a time when people trust in their own deeds, their own abilities, their own accomplishments. Well, they're going to get their day in court. They're going to get their day in court. They're going to get to stand before God, and they're going to stand on their own works. That is the only thing they'll have, and so they're going to be judged according to their works. Like I said, I can't tell you how many times I've knocked on doors and talked to people about their salvation, and how many have told me, well, preacher, you know, yep, I believe I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person, and I try to do good things. Hey, well, those people stand before God on that day, and they're going to stand on the basis of what they said they've always wanted to stand on. They're going to stand on what they have done, okay, on their own works. Now, there is a problem, and there is a big problem, all right? And the Bible has told us many times of the shortness of where we are. Remember, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 64, verse 6, well-known verse, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. All right? The best we can do. Man's going to discover he's not as good as he thinks he is. Man's just going to discover he's not as good as he thinks he is. His works just don't measure up. Now remember, those works have to measure up against a thrice holy God. They don't have to measure up better than the next guy. It's not a judgment based on the fact, well, I'm better than he is, or I did more than he did, or I didn't do as much bad as she did. You know, I'm a better person. Look at my works, all right? And remember, the Bible talks about how the Lord Jesus talking about that day, and folks are going to come up and say, well, we did a lot of wonderful works in your name. We cast out devils in your name, all right? But they're going to find out those works are not the thing, folks. The Lord's made it very plain that it is not what we can do. Not what we can do. But multitudes across the earth, the majority of religions in the world today are based on the deeds of man. The deeds of man. It's all about what you do. It's all about what you do and what you can earn, all right? But the Bible says the basis of judgment is going to be, all right, we'll judge your works, all right? And then the Bible said the books are going to be open. The books are going to be open. Man, what a staggering idea, all right? What a thought. The books are going to be open. You said, well, what books are we talking about? Well, the first book's going to be a book of works. All right, it's going to be a book of works. Here we are. God keeps a record of what folks do. In the New Testament, the Lord spoke, speaking to his followers, said, if you give a cup of water in my name, you won't lose your reward. Now, I'm saying to you, if God's keeping a record of you just giving a cup of water, I guarantee you he's keeping pretty good records. He's keeping some good records. Now, we forget things. We forget things. Now, oftentimes I think people think, well, I'm not going to have to worry about standing before God because I can't remember what I've done. That's all right. He'll bring it to your memory. He won't have any trouble bringing it to remember. So there's going to be a book of works, and God's kept a record. Those books, that's going to have to be open because we're judging according to their works. So they're going to be there. They're going to be there. And I think they're going to find out, well, you know, it doesn't look as good now as I thought it did then. And it's not looking that good. So the book of works is going to be open. Not only that, the book of life is going to be open. The book of life is going to be open. And if your name is not there, the Bible says it's over. All right? It says, whosoever, in verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Right? I remember years and years and years ago, we had a tape in our house. I don't remember who was singing it. But the song was, is your name written there? Is your name written there? Well, there's the question, all right? There's the question. because that book is going to be open. But I believe with all my heart there's going to be another book opened, all right? The Bible said the books are going to be open. One of those books, take your Bible to John chapter 12, all right? I believe without a doubt one of those books, and that is the book of God, it is the book we call the Bible. You say, well, why do you think that? Well, because John chapter 12, all right? John chapter 12, verse 48. You'll notice there in verse 48, the Bible says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Same shall judge him in the last day. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I believe this with all my heart. I believe that book, this book right here, is going to be open. And I believe a lot of the people that have said, well, look about my works and what I've done. I believe the Bible is just going to be laid out in front of them, and it's going to be, yep, well, why did you do that? Why'd you do it? The Bible talks a lot about doing things just to be seen of men. The Bible talks about praying just to be heard of men. Sometimes we worry about our prayer. You know, we think, man, I can't pray my prayer. It just doesn't have that wonderful sound to it, you know. And listen, that's not what it's about, okay? It's about you talking to God, coming from your heart, and it doesn't have to have a wonderful cadence to it. It doesn't have to have this amazing vocabulary to it. It's you talking to God. Well, the Bible said, folks, he's going to judge us, and it's going to be out of that book. So the question is, how do you measure up to that book, all right? That's the book that the world has ignored. It's the book that the world has mocked. It's the book that the world has put down and put aside. But it's going to stand in judgment against them one day. That crowd that's mocked the Word of God and downplayed it and, cast reflection on it and mocked at it and made fun of it, hey, it's going to be a testimony against them. A testimony against them. They're going to say, well, I didn't have a chance. Wait a minute. Yeah, you did. Here's what it says right here. Here's what it says right here. Hey, well, I never heard it preached. Yeah, but you remember that sign you drove by? You remember that sign you drove by and you looked at and you mocked at it because of what it said about prepare to meet thy God? You laughed it off. Hey, that was right out of the book. That's right out of the book. I mean, you're talking about folks going to stand before God. Yep, the book of works going to be open. The book of life's going to be open. The book of God's going to be open, too. The book of God's going to be open. And folks are going to have to face the fact that that book that we've downplayed, that book that we've ran down, that book that we've laid aside, that's the book that told us what we should have done. We should have paid more attention to it, all right? Now, the Bible said there's only one conclusion. There's only one conclusion for the folks who've rejected the gospel and the gift of life. Just one. Just one. Look, God's done everything he can. God's done everything he can. God sent his son to pay the price for our sin. You said, well, I wasn't there, but he wrote us a book. He wrote us a book. And listen, he preserved that book. He preserved that book. You can get it anywhere. Well, I couldn't afford it. A dollar? Free? And we give them away free around here. People, I don't have a Bible. I don't mind giving you a Bible. We've been, folks have been going up down the streets delivering scripture portions, John and Romans. If you just read John and Romans and believe it there, you can go to heaven, all right? You can go to heaven. Now, there's more to the Bible than those two books, but if you'll take that truth and believe it, you can go to heaven. Don't run around saying, well, hey, I didn't have a chance. Hey, there's only one result that can happen. One result, and that result is to be cast into the lake of fire. Cast into the lake of fire. What does that mean? That means there's no appeal. There's no appeal. Today, criminals go to court. They get convicted, and they sit in prison for years and years and years, appealing the conviction. Appealing that conviction. And, I mean, it just goes on and on. Well, not going to be any appeal. Not going to be. Hey, we don't have to worry about a miscarriage of justice. We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry, well, it was an innocent man, no. Because remember, the Bible, the Lord said, what they're going to hear him say is, sorry, I never knew you. I never knew you. Why? Because you would never belong to me. Never belong to me. But I might just throw this in here. That speaks well to those people that believe you can lose your salvation. God's not going to say, well, I knew you at one time, but I forgot you. It's going to be, I never knew you. Why? You were never mine. You never belonged to me. And once that judgment has been made, sentence is going to be carried out immediately. It's going to be immediate carrying out of that sentence. The Bible said they'll be cast into the lake of fire. That means the punishment, all right? The punishment for rejecting God's Son. And by the way, that is the sin unto death. You reject God's Son. And that punishment is eternal, conscious suffering. Eternal, conscious suffering. The Bible says where the fire is not quenched, where their worm dieth not. And the smoke of that ascends up forever, forever. We live in a day where people are teaching annihilation. They teach that the person, that lost sinner, will be thrown in there and he'll suffer, but eventually he'll be annihilated, and that'll be the end. He'll be gone. That's it. That's not true according to the Word of God. You say, well, that seems like an awful, hard punishment. Wait a minute. We have the wrong view of what sin is. We have the wrong view of what sin is. Sin is an affront to a holy God. And then he comes along and says, look, I've made a way of escape, but you wouldn't take it. You turned it down. You said, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. And I'm not going to accept your payment. And God says, okay. Well, then the punishment, eternal suffering, conscious suffering, not you're no longer with it. You'll be there. Bible said there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't believe there's any way we can picture it. This picture that's here is just kind of a, just to try to represent it, but there's no way you can picture what it's going to be like, all right? What it's going to be like. Now, you say, preacher, just those judged will be there. Honestly, I believe there'll be spectators. I believe there's going to be there. I believe not all that are there will be judged there. You say, well, who's going to be there? Well, I believe folks are going to be there that have already been judged. You said, who? The first resurrection folks. All right? Those that had part in the first resurrection. We've already been judged. I've talked to you about a week or so ago, a couple of 3 weeks ago, about the judgment seat of Christ. We'll be judged. If you're saved, you'll be judged at that judgment seat of Christ. But I believe we're going to be at the great white throne judgment. I believe we'll be there not to be judged, but as spectators there. Now, you said, well, what's the joy? I don't think there'll be any joy. It's not going to be a celebrating thing. I think there will be, I think one reason the Bible tells us in chapter 21, he's going to wipe the tears from their eyes. I think a lot of that crying is going to become about because of what happens at the judgment seat of Christ, at the great white throne judgment. I believe the tears are going to be shed there, all right? What a sobering thought to consider that someone that you know, someone that maybe you loved, a family member, a friend, a person that worked with you, a neighbor, is going to be there that might be able to find you in that crowd of spectators and look at you and said, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? How come you had it and you knew it, but you never said a word to me? Now, folks, listen, I'm not trying to play on your emotions. I just want you to face the fact that I believe we're going to stand there and we're going to hear that. We'll be confronted. Even I don't think they'll necessarily have to look at us and ask us. We're going to look and see them and say, man, why didn't I say something? You say, well, it was that neighbor I didn't like. I don't care. Well, when you hear the screams of people being cast in the lake of fire, you're going to have a different view on that neighbor you didn't like. I think we're going to be there, and I think God's people are going to feel a great responsibility that we should have done more than we did, and we should have taken advantage of the opportunity God gave us to witness to people, and even in some cases made that opportunity, all right? Just stepped in and say, hey, listen, I want to talk to you about something. How sad it will be to see friends and loved ones cast into the lake of fire. Hey, folks, I believe you and I, and this is a Wednesday night crowd. You usually don't have a lot of lost people in church on Wednesday night. Wednesday night crowd are saved people. I believe one of the greatest things about looking at the great white throne judgment, it ought to stir us to do everything we can to reach everybody we can, especially the folks we know. At least talk to them. Man, at least say, well, I tried. You wouldn't listen. You wouldn't listen. You just, you know, shrugged me off. Now, I think still be tears over that, over loved ones or family. But wait a minute. At least you said, I tried. I tried. Why didn't you listen? Now, preacher, what's the message right now for us today? I think we need to remember it. And this sort of affect us right now. You say, well, it means we've got to witness to everybody. Okay, yeah, we need to. But wait a minute. You need to realize this. God is a righteous judge. And the Bible says in Nahum chapter 1 and verse 3, he will not at all acquit the wicked. He will not at all acquit the wicked. Sin must be judged. Sin must be judged. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. That is the wages of sin. Sin has to be judged. You say, well, God's a God of love. He is, but he's also a God of justice. He's a holy God. That demands that sin has to be judged, okay? The truth of the matter is, when you get, I'll never forget, we had a church member years ago. He was a truck driver, and he drove a gravel hauler. And he was out one time. He told me about it. He said, man, I was out in West Texas. He said, there wasn't a car in sight. There was nothing out there. I was on the road by myself. I'd been on the road by myself. He ran a radar detector in his truck all the time just to help him stay under the speed. No, probably help him. But he always ran that radar detector. And he said, I was out there in the middle of nowhere driving along, and he said, all of a sudden, my radar detector started buzzing. And he said, man, you know, I'm looking. There was nothing. He said, I tapped on it, you know, tried to adjust it, do everything. He said, it kept buzzing. I'm driving along there. He probably told me how fast he's going. I don't remember now. But he said, all of a sudden, I came up, and there was a dip in the road, and there sat a state trooper. And he said, I had ignored the warning of the, you know, radar detector. So he said, got pulled over, and he said the state trooper came up. Now, you had to known this guy and his personality. He said he's talking to the state trooper, and he said, come on, man. I mean, what in the world? He said, there's nobody out here but me and you. And he said, and here I am. I'm just trying to get home. What in the world? He said, who am I hurting? And he said, that state trooper looked at me and said, you're hurting the state. And he said, I got a ticket, and I had to pay the state, all right? Hey, the truth of the matter is, all sin is against God. All sin is against God. And we too often, we don't look at it that way. But the Bible tells us God's not going to acquit the wicked. Sin's debt has to be paid. Now, the good news is he judged it on the cross. He paid the sin debt, all right? And we have a choice. We can accept his payment or pay it yourself. Accept his payment or pay it yourself. I mean, it just boils down to that. And I know you maybe witnessed people and said, well, I don't believe that. Okay. Well, it's true. Doesn't matter if you believe it or not. Doesn't change the truth of it. And we're left with that deal. God says sin has to be paid for. He paid for it on the cross. He went to the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ took our sins in his own body. He paid the payment. And all we have to do is accept his payment. He said, don't want to do it. Okay, pay it yourself. Pay it yourself. You have an opportunity. You've got a choice. You know, you can pay your own way. You can pay your own way. Now, I wouldn't suggest you do it. I wouldn't suggest you do it. But you can if you want to. Now, say this. Another thing we know. The Bible tells there's no second chance. There's no second chance for salvation after death. There are people today that teach that. People today are teaching, well, you'll have another chance. After you die, you'll have a chance to get right with God. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible said there's two resurrections. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But those that don't get in on that first resurrection will be raised at the second resurrection, and they're going to endure the second death. They already died once. They're going to die again. The old saying is so true. If you're born twice, you only die once. But if you're only born once, you're going to die twice. There is no second chance. I want you to do me a favor tonight. I want you, in closing, I want you to look at two passages of Scripture. One is chapter 20 of Revelation and verse 15. All right, the same word is found in this verse that's found in Revelation 22:17. And that word is whosoever. Revelation 20, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In Revelation 22:17, the Bible says this, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever, there's that word again, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The water of life freely. There's two whosoevers, one in chapter 20, verse 15, one in chapter 22, verse 17. But boy, what a difference in those two. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But whosoever will can come. Whosoever will, let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The Spirit and the bride say, come. I'm telling you, God's invitation tonight is come. Come. You say, who's the invite? Whosoever. Whosoever. If you'll come, if you'll take it. Remember I said, you got a choice. You can accept his payment. Pay it yourself. Pay it yourself. What a mistake that people make, to stand, the idea of I'm going to stand before God, look him in the face and say, I didn't take your son. He wasn't good enough for me. I'll pay my own way. You say, preacher, nobody's going to say that. Wait a minute. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. I've had people tell me, I've heard people say, well, I'm just going to trust my religion. Trust my religion. Now, you listen to me. That means they're trusting their works. Because that's what religion's all about. What you can do. What you can do. So what they're saying is, I'm not taking the payment. He made his payment, but I'll do it my way. I'll do it my way. I'm going to be the whosoever that says, no, I won't come. I won't take the water of life freely. The Bible says, all right, whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Two whosoevers, two of them. You have a choice. Listen, my friend, you and I have the truth of the Word of God. We have the truth of the Word of God. We don't need to be arrogant. We don't need to be boastful. We don't need to be rude. But I think it's right and proper for us to plead with people to trust Christ. Don't pass your chance for salvation. Don't do that. That we plead with people. You said, preacher, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. Remember that verse we read there in chapter 22, verse 17? The Spirit and the bride say, come. All right. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And if that's not enough, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's not whosoever hasn't done anything that's super bad. It's whosoever will. Whosoever will. That's the invitation. God says, I paid it. You can take my payment or you can pay it yourself. Would you bow your heads tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed? Could I just ask you this, okay? First of all, do you know for sure? You know for sure you've trusted Christ as your Savior. You trusted Him. Anybody here would just slip the hand up and say, preacher, I'm not positive I was to die, I'd go to heaven. Anybody raise their hand and say, I'm not positive if I died, I'd go to heaven. All right, then I want to ask you this. You got friends that you need to witness to? I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I'm not going to give an invitation as such. But you got friends, you got family, neighbors that you need to witness to. Maybe right now there's a name that comes to you. You say, preacher, there's somebody, at least a somebody, I need to witness to. Would you pray for me that I'd get that opportunity and I'd take the chance to witness to him? Would you just slip your hand up and say, there's somebody I need to talk to? All right. Heavenly Father, I pray now you'd help us. Lord, when we think about the great white throne judgment, there's nothing that ought to cause us to pause and to consider the truth of eternity. And Lord, I pray you'd bless each one that's here tonight that's raised their hand and said, there's somebody I know I need to witness to. Lord, would you help them to do that? Would you even go beyond that? Would you open a door and give them that opportunity that they could witness? And Lord, just break their heart for that somebody. And we pray, Lord, that you would touch hearts. And Lord, maybe even somebody watching this video later or tonight, wherever, if they need to trust Christ, Lord, would you help them to just bow and call upon you and ask you to save their soul, forgive them for their sin, for being a sinner, that they by faith might trust you. Go with us now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.